The thing with the scan is that the decoupled look back is a clever way to do a scan, but there's still this serial dependence. So the decoupled look back lets everybody do their local scan and writing the results of their local scan, like the sum of all the threads in their block, to an aggregate. That lets everybody do that in parallel. And that's all something that everybody's going to do in roughly the same time.
Welcome to ADSP, the podcast, episode 175, recorded on March 6, 2024. My name is Connor, and today with my co-host Bryce, we continue our conversation on Parallel Chunk By, as well as talk about a few random topics, including stickers, the NVIDIA AI podcast, and more.
Let's go back to the two-pass reduced by key. I'm not convinced that works.
Why?
Because, you explain to me how you think it would work.
Is a reduce allowed to reduce a vector? Like, imagine we're doing our reduce by key, but we know that we're going to end up with a vector of reductions, correct?
Yeah.
And as long as I'm allowed to build up some kind of struct that handles, you know, it's one of those operator overloaded structs that knows how to combine a struct with the initial value, an initial value with a struct with a struct, as long as it's got all those things, at some points...
So for what it's worth, I have now started to prefer to not write those that way. What I prefer to do is what I did in the... chunk by, where instead of writing an operator that handles all the cases, mm-hmm. I simply figure out how do I transform the sequence so that it's homogeneous. And so it's like, okay, if I have Boolean flags, how do I turn a Boolean flag into one of my interval objects?
Right.
And that just makes it a whole lot cleaner.
Right. Yes. And that is like a classic thing in array programming, where sometimes you need to do a scan, but a scan, you output the result of your operation, but you need to, the stuff that you want to carry is different. So you kind of need these two pieces of information. Yep. What do you do there? And in J, the APL 2.0, they actually have a special kind of algorithm, and there's like six different flavors of it called fold, which is specifically for this. When you want to like carry state, but output a different value at each index, you can do that. But anyways, same idea. And so like if you've got a block that is, the chunk is bigger than the block on both sides, your result of that is like your little, you know, reductions vector. It's going to just have a single value in it because it's going to get added with, you know, things on the left and things on the right. But if you've got a bunch of chunks within your block, your reductions vector is going to have a couple values in it because there's going to be one for each chunk. And when you get to your second pass reduction, all it's doing is you're going to have basically... A vector of vectors that have got like some have got one reduction, some have got five reductions, and some of them.
But how do we allocate the space for those? That's the problem.
You can figure that out up front.
How can you figure that out?
You just do the chunk by. You do the pass. You don't even need to do a scan there. You can do a transform zip iterator trick to apply your binary predicate, and then you're going to get your flags. So basically, you calculate your flags, and then you know. What, because your size of your blocks, you can just look how many vectors are we going to need in here. And if you see no flags in your block, you know you just need one value. If you see three flags, you know you're going
to
need.
Oh, but we can't do the allocation device size. We have to do it before we launch.
That's fine. We could do that.
But that might require a first parallel pass to figure that out.
So, and maybe this is why at the end of the day. Like maybe the scan is more efficient, but in my
I actually find it hard to believe that the scan is more efficient. The thing with the scan is that the decoupled look back is a clever way to do a scan, but there's still this serial dependence. So the decoupled look back lets everybody do their local scan and writing the results of their local scan, like the sum of all the threads in their block. To an aggregate that lets everybody do that in parallel. And that's all something that everybody's going to do in roughly the same time. And then it paralyzes the computation of the prefixes that every block needs. But it still ultimately has a serial dependence that for given a block, given a chunk of elements I, for you to complete the scan of those elements I, all I minus one chunks must have completed. And that is this monotonic requirement is tough, whereas the reduce is just strictly embarrassingly parallel. There's no communication or contention outside of within these like local little blocks. Or like another way to think about it, forget blocks, like delete blocks from your vocabulary for a minute and think about it in terms of CPU parallelism. So GPU parallelism has this second layer of both, you know, there's thread blocks, which are kind of like the SMPTE execution environment where you have these threads that are all executing together. But if we think about it just in terms of like CPU parallelism, where we don't have that second layer and where it's just threads, the equivalent CPU parallel reduce would be a reduce where you just spin up n threads, have each one of them reduce some amount of elements, and then write the result for that thread into a vector. And then the second pass would be just, you just have one thread sum up that vector. And that first pass is 100% embarrassingly parallel. Like there's no communication at all, which is like the best type of parallel algorithm. Whereas the scan, any form of the scan algorithm has threads talking to each other. So I do find it, unless there is some structural reason for needing the scan for the bi-key algorithms, and there's a lot of people way smarter than me that work on CUBS, so you know that's probably the case. But then again, there's also some times when we do find things like this that could actually be faster. But I do find it questionable. I do find it questionable, and I wonder whether a two-pass reduction would work. Now, the thing that Connor's describing, I think, is actually very tricky because I would hate to have to do a pre-pass to compute where the key chunks end.
You don't have to calculate. It's well, I guess yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, you do because we need to figure out where the storage goes. We need to know how many keys we end up with. Yeah.
Well, it's time to wind down, folks.
But wait. Okay. Hang on.
Future episode.
No. Hang on.
it's an hour and 40 minutes now. This is supposed to be 30
minutes. So maybe we talk about a three pass thing, where pass number one is just count how many, you know, unique key segments we have. Count how many chunks we have, then allocate temp storage for those chunks, then do pass two, which is the reduce, the aggregate reduce, and then pass three is the summation of the aggregates.
What's the cost also of launching, like another possible implementation of reduce by key is you just launch one block for every chunk and every chunk is just arbitrarily sized. What's the overhead?
That's basically how the reductions work.
What do you mean that's how the reductions mean?
The number of items per thread for reduction, or at least for reduce, I think the number of items per thread isn't fixed in the same way that it is for scan. It picks a number of items per thread, but then it also iterates so that it, I think the number of blocks is fixed for reduce. So for scan, because of like...
But like, couldn't you implement a kernel that like launches a block with arbitrary number of elements each, like for every chunk, you just launch a block. Like to me, that obviously has some kind of overhead compared to just launching.
You're saying to launch a block for every chunk in the end, but then they may be different.
They're almost definitely going to be different, and some of them are also going to be very small. Some of them are going to be big.
Yeah, so you can't
do that.
You can't have different block sizes. That is an interesting idea. You know, we have this segmented reduce thing, which is when you have different actual inputs, sort of like a scatter gather thing that Georgie worked on.
An employee.
It's one of our coworkers. He's very smart. He's like, if you like cloned Connor or not, like he's like smarter than like 10 of me and Connor's. Like that's 10 of me's and 10 of Connor's. He's very good. So for segment and reduce, I remember there was some interesting thing about like sorting the size of the segments. And like, I think it broke down to like having three phases where there's like big segments go first and then like medium segments and then small segments. I remember something about that. We should talk about the segmented reduce too, because those are the newer algorithms in Cub.
When you said segmented reduce, I was like, is my guy just referring to what we've been talking to about for like the last 45 minutes?
Maybe we should have Georgie.
When you just said he's worth 20 of you and I combined, I was like, well, why isn't he on the podcast? Here we are bumbling around for an hour and a half. I mean, 30 minutes was your coach.
Because I think that one of the nice things about the podcast is that most programmers can connect.
To the struggle.
Yeah. And the reality is that even for somebody like Georgie or Sean Parent, who are brilliant programmers, who are far smarter than us, everybody's experience is subjective. And so I'm sure that for like, no matter what your intelligence level is, you can connect with the struggle, right? Like that's one of the reasons why this podcast and this podcast format works, is because no matter what level you're at, no matter your skill set, your learning, regardless of how intelligent you may think you are, everybody struggles. Even the people who are like who you look up to, they struggle too. And it's very therapeutic to see other people struggle and be like, oh yeah, it's not just me. Other people struggle too. And I think that's why people tolerate the chaos of the podcast, because there's something very human, there's something very human about the struggle, and there's something very human about like us making mistakes and being okay with making mistakes and advertising those mistakes to the world.
Well, I mean, ideally, you know, we're not here to advertise our mistakes. They just happen and people get to hear them. Ideally we could,
but that's what people connect with, I think, in the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not like us just being like, oh, here's how, you know, like, here's how this thing works. It's mostly like, oh, well, we don't know. Let's go find out. Okay, so I got to add a new to-do list item, which is we need to figure out what's going on with reduce by key and whether we can do a better algorithm there. But that's going to require some thought.
And we're going to bring on Georgie. We should bring on Jake as well. We've mentioned Jake a couple times. We mentioned the CCCL GitHub repo. He's in charge of all this stuff now. He should be on the pod. So there you have. I actually don't know what's going to happen now, folks. Maybe I'll put this at the beginning, because this was an hour and 20 minutes after the 30-minute couch episode. I just said you'd hear the couch episode in like 20 episodes, but maybe I am going to edit the couch episode.
You promised, Connor, you bastard. You what? Promised.
What?
You promised not to 10x me. No
10x. No. I said me. What I was saying is, I said the couch episode would be in like 20 episodes because I wanted to edit this one for Friday and then leave the couch episode. But now this one is an hour and 20 minutes, which doesn't go into all one episode. So it's probably going to get cut up into three episodes. Parts or at least two parts.
I have no idea what the cuts are.
And so the problem, I don't mind editing the first part of this, but the problem is then I want to get Sean's episodes out. Right after we record them.
We didn't even talk about the fact that the Norwegian ambassador to the UN lives in the penthouse in my building.
Yeah, it's unimportant. All right, folks. We're gonna wrap this up. Phineas has been waiting.
Oh, God, there's somebody who's been waiting this whole time?
That's who you told me not to message while we were recording the pod.
I did tell you not to message.
Maybe I'll cut all of this out.
Not a chance.
Not a chance, says the guy that does none of the editing.
And doesn't, you know, I still haven't listened to the end of Phone Tag.
You're a terrible friend, Bryce.
It's been in my
You're a great friend in some respects, and you're a terrible friend in other respects.
I'm really interested to know, though. Maybe on my flight to Japan. All right, we should probably wrap it here.
All right, folks, this is probably... This is like probably either episode 176 or episode like 179. I'm curious just for myself. I'll be editing it at some point this like 2 months in the future, and I want to see how close I was to it, if I was right with 176 or 179. Woo, we're getting close to 200.
Yeah, what are we going to do for episode 200?
Remember we recorded a special episode 200 back at like episode 40?
I have... no recollection of what I said. What did we say about episode 200?
Do you even remember the topic?
I don't.
Wow. I'm gonna. You know.
You have to tell me because you know I won't listen to it.
I was literally about to say, you know, there's one way to guarantee that I can get Bryce to listen to at least one episode out of our first 200, and that'll be episode 200 when I air it without us recording, and he'll be like, "Wait, what?" And I'll be like, well, you're going to have to listen.
Wait, did we record an entire episode?
I think we recorded, truth be told, I think we recorded half of an episode. And the idea was we made some predictions and we were going to revisit them.
Okay, wait, episode 200. When would we have recorded these predictions?
I think it was around like episode 40 or something.
What year would that have been?
That would have been, we started in 2019, so 40 would have been in 2020.
Okay, would that have been in 2020 before I became jaded and salty about C++?
No, I think it was before.
Oh, crap. Then most of those predictions are probably bad ones.
This little bit right here, I'm going to splice. I got to remember whatever episode this was. Hopefully it was 179. I'm going to splice this little bit where Bryce is clearly... has no idea what he said.
I really have no
Doesn't know clue. The topic, doesn't know what he said.
I mean, that was pre me moving to New York even.
Yeah, it was just like mid-pandemic. Actually, no, it was probably like summer of 2020.
When did I even record then? God, I just have no memory of what happened in life before the last like year or two.
This is good stuff too. Honestly, I've got to start looking to see what other podcasts have gone weekly this long. Because I'm pretty sure there's a couple out there that have done a couple thousand that have never missed a week. But as far as tech podcasts goes, I think
we've come close to missing weeks. Like the past month or two has been week to week.
Let me rephrase what Bryce is incorrect. Bryce, what really happened is we got close to you not being on the podcast. And me just recording separately for 30 minutes going blah, 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 blah. Guess what? This is episode 169. Bryce, we weren't able to connect and there's no way. Even if, listeners, one day you get like a 3-minute episode. I promise. I'll need to be close to dead, you know, in order for us. I shouldn't say that because knock on walnut. Let's get that walnut ring just a little bit cleaner on the pod. Knock on wood, that won't happen. Anyways, any final words? Because we're now at an hour, 53 minutes.
Now I'm getting sentimental about my coffee table. I do have to get rid of
it. All right, we're going to end it there, folks.
Wait, no. If you live in New York City and you'd like Bryce's coffee table, DM me, I guess.
We should actually give it away. We should give it away as like a podcast. You know, that would actually
sure.
be... It's a decent... Honestly, Bryce is saying it's dinged up and whatnot, but like... Bryce, like this is a very nice coffee table. I'm running my hands on it. Like, sure, there's a couple blemishes.
I'm not getting rid of it because there's any problem with it. I'm getting rid of it because not some of the furniture. Like my girlfriend and I are getting a larger place together this summer, and some of the furniture that is my furniture has to go away, and some of the furniture that is her furniture has to go away. And while I love this coffee table and it is my oldest piece of furniture. It is one that is going away.
And you know what we should do? We should get the ADSP logo, like like etched into the corner, and we make it like an ADSP episode 200, because episode 200 is going to be like September timeline.
Are you telling me I have to figure out how to ship this coffee table?
I mean, yeah, we'd have to do that. But like, I think it could be worth it. You know, we might start a Patreon, folks. Listen, this is like episode 179 now. The Adobe C++ meetup, New York meetup people are not getting ADSP stickers tomorrow. That's because, one, I forgot about it last week. But two, over the last 2 days, I've been looking into New York sticker options. I got quoted for, I think it was 100 stickers, $329.
You know what, Connor? They pass very well at the NVIDIA Corporation.
I know. But there was other options that were less than 100 for like 200 stickers. Anyways, point is that, and also too, I've learned they're called die-in stickers, and they have like the little white border around them. It needs to be rounded corners. I don't want like, because if they would have gotten stickers, they would have been like sheets of stickers where they were square with no border and no rounded edges. And like, we want top tier stickers. We're not going to give out some first draft kind of like, oh, these were last minute, but here you go. No,
are the stickers
no folks.
Just going to have the logo?
Just the logo. We're starting off simple, and then we'll expand, you know, the merch empire.
I do wonder whether we need a flashier logo.
No. There's no way we're changing the logo. I would like to change the ArrayCast logo, if you're listening, Bob. I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
I like that I've got three podcasts, and two of them basically have the same kind of style. It's just a matte color. One's green, one's red, and then just kind of blocky text centered. It's simple, it's clean, and like, it's got equidistant, you know, bordering to the edge from all the text, whereas ArrayCast, it's got, you know, huge margins above and below the text, and it's got like negative margins on the left and right. So that just like
I do have to say one interesting thing about this podcast name is that when we started this podcast, we picked a name that was mostly for SEO, and I did not think that it was going to be an applicable name. And then we went into a phase that was very heavily interview based, but then increasingly over the past year and a half, this podcast has become more and more like deeply algorithm focused.
Yeah, well, it's also parallel, but like I did notice a pattern that we've got an episode called Vectorizing Filter, and I think I'm going to go back and rename that one Parallel Filter. And then since then, we've had like Parallel Scan. I think we've had another parallel episode, but like we've had three now episodes, and this one is probably going to be like Parallel Chunk By Part 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And I have no problem. I mean, I love talking about algorithms. You know, sometimes we just get lost in the sauce.
Talk about the data structures.
Well, I mean, every data structure is basically an algorithm anyway, is a quote the other day. It's basically each of your operations is just a different type of algorithm. And we live in a GPU land where like the only data structure, not the only one, we care about graphs too. So calm down, folks.
I have been thinking about another podcast project.
What do you mean, like between us or just you on your own?
Well, like shouldn't like NVIDIA have like a...
We do have a podcast. It's called the NVIDIA AI Podcast, hosted by Noah Kravitz. I listen.
Is it good?
I listen to every episode.
And what do they talk about?
They're roughly 20 to 30 minute episodes. Am I allowed to give my honest opinion? I'm not going to get in trouble, right?
You can give your honest opinion.
Yeah, it's not my favorite podcast. Mostly what they
is
do.
Is it like technical?
Yeah, it's very technical. But what they do is they bring on representatives of companies and startups that are doing cool stuff with GPUs and like our tech. And so it's like...
Okay, that is not what I had in mind.
One of the most recent ones, I think it was actually, I can't remember. It was like health related or something. But it's always like, you know, some startup company and they're trying to figure out a way to use GPUs to affect like climate change or to do like genome sequencing.
Oh, that's cool.
And so
that's
like cool. You get to hear about all these stories. But like my favorite podcasts are... One, that they don't really have an ulterior motive. Like, the motive there is to, like, highlight cool companies that are using our GPUs so you can figure out how you could use
the
GPUs.
The motive there is to sell GPUs.
Yeah. Weed. And then, like, other podcasts, like, people have courses. People have books. People have, like, you know, things that they're trying. It's like, oh, the bigger our audience, the more that we can sell this thing. And, like... podcasts that don't have like a goal like Oxide and Friends. Like, I don't think, even though Oxide and Friends, sure, maybe they get like a little bit of, you know, press or whatever, PR, like people hear about them more. Like, literally, that's just a bunch of nerds like that have a lot of seniority and have been in the industry for decades that are like talking about what's exciting to them. And like literally episode to episode, it completely changes. And it's literally just like passionate people sharing what they care about, which is what this podcast is. Like, we don't make money. We don't have sponsors. We don't really have a goal, which is very clear to the listener. Sometimes we choose a topic and then change like 3 minutes later. And it's the same thing with ArrayCast. Like, it's literally like ArrayCast even more so. It's just like people talking about what they're excited about. And honestly, it's like far and few between.
What I want for an NVIDIA podcast is I want a podcast where I can grill my coworkers about why CUDA is the way that it is.
So you should literally, you should start a podcast, because that is what I did with ArrayCast. ArrayCast, I honestly sometimes think of it as like my personal think tank. Like, I'll come up with a question and then I'll be like, oh, look at that. Marshall Lochbaum, the creator of the language that I've been thinking about this problem in, BQN, is on the panel. And I'll just be like, all right, so today we're going to talk about game programming. But first, I've got a question for Marshall. And then the first 10 minutes of the podcast is him answering that question. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. You should call it like, you know, the NVIDIA think tank or the NVIDIA cast.
The unofficial CUDA podcast, I think.
Yeah, do it. And then that's the thing. You have to choose like a panel. It can even be a rotating panel, which is kind of what a Raycast is as well. So you just have four or five people. And the thing is, you just got to find someone to do the work, similar to this podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
All right, folks. It is 2 hours, 1 minute, 18 seconds. We're signing off from Bryce's apartment.
Yeah, we're going to go do a fun activity that Connor doesn't know about.
Are we going to dinner first, though? Or
no, I don't think you're allowed to have food.
We can't go to dinner? That's what Phineas thinks we're doing, going to dinner.
I have different plans.
Can he come to the thing?
He can come to the thing.
Is it a thing he'd want to come to?
I mean, he can come. He may not be able to leave, though.
He may not be able to leave. Is it a movie?
I really can't tell you any more details.
All right. We'll send Phineas a voice note, and he may or may not come.
Yeah.
All right. Hope everybody enjoyed this.
Be sure to check the show notes either in your podcast app or at adspthepodcast.com for links to anything we mentioned in today's episode, as well as a link to a GitHub discussion where you can leave thoughts, comments, and questions. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed, and have a great day.
Low quality, high quantity. That is the tagline of our podcast.
It's not the tagline. Our tagline is chaos with sprinkles of information.